Hey, welcome to Athlete on Fire, and I'm Scott Jones, your host. We are diving back in with my wife, Lauren Jones. We're walking over to the gym earlier and had a follow-up conversation. She had her labrum repaired 2 months to the day, and we're just kind of following up. For those of you guys out there have had labrum issues or hip issues or just injuries in general, I think you guys will find this to be fairly valuable, just the process of what it takes and things that we're learning along the way. So you can go back to the last episode. It was released about a month and a quarter ago. But yeah, we have a nice little conversation on the way over to the gym. There's some background noise as a warning, not too bad. And enjoy. Appreciate it. All right. So following back up with the old Lauren. It's been about a month since the last podcast. And she is 2 months to the day out from her labrum surgery. Good sign is she's not on crutches right now. We're walking on snow to the gym, which is about a half mile from her house. And I guess I just want to spend just a few minutes just to catch up, see how you're feeling. So, first month, you're still on crutches, still a good amount of pain. You weren't able to really do anything except for ride the bike a little bit. What's your recovery been up like to date?
Pretty good. I would say it's a day by day. So, which I've read a lot about. I've read it's a really psychological type recovery because I'll have days where I freak out and I'm like, the surgery didn't take or something's wrong. And then other days I feel amazing and I have hope and I feel like I could get back there on the trail sooner than I expected. But in general, it's going really well. PC's going really well. I'm still going twice a week and I'm able to add some resistance on the bike. I'm hoping to get outdoors and just bike on the sidewalk this week, pending snow and weather and icy conditions. And I'm able to do a lot more as far as strength training goes, which has really been cool because I've been missing being able to get my heart rate up and sweat. And I don't know, that's just something I really crave and it's a good stress relief for me. So it's going well though.
What were the stages? So you're able to get rid of your crutches first, right?
Yeah, and then I went down to run one crutch, and then I guess walking without crutches very slowly.
Yeah.
Stairs are still a little bit of an issue. I need to use the railing, or I've actually been bear crawling or crab walking up and down the stairs, which somebody told me about. So that's kind of fun because I actually really love to bear crawl, so it helps my upper body.
Weirdo.
Yeah, so you'll see me like bear crawling up the stairs a lot around the house and crab walking down the stairs. And then the pool, I was cleared to start swimming. So last week I went out and wore one of those flotation waist belts and did some laps in the pool. Not actually like freestyle swimming, running a little bit, like aqua jogging. And that felt amazing.
Nice.
Felt weightless and I felt like I was able to get that range of motion I haven't been able to get.
What about the general pain? You mentioned something about the pain not being there just with, like, everyday movements. Even though you're not able to do a lot, you still don't feel, like, the structural pain you used to feel?
Yeah, it's not really the pain so much as the instability. So before the surgery, I couldn't get up from a chair. It was bad. My femur was so unstable. And actually, I met with a surgeon, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
And
she was, yeah, so basically what I learned from the post-op meeting with her was that my labrum tear was so severe that I was at risk for a spontaneous hip dislocation, which is kind of scary considering I was like mountain biking and hiking still.
Yeah.
I wasn't trail running, but it wasn't, they couldn't view that in the MRI, so nobody really knew to warn me about that risk, which made sense though, because I did keep saying to the doctors, like, my hip feels so unstable, like going up downstairs I can feel my femur moving around, like it literally felt like it'd come out of socket. So that's a little scary.
Yeah.
But now I don't feel the instability, like I'm able to go up and downstairs and get up from a chair and I feel like it's not moving around anymore. So
yeah, so overall, I know we'll do this every time we catch up though, even though it's been pretty frustrating so far, like just 2 months out, do you feel like it's been worth it?
Yes.
Because
yeah, because I feel like this has been going on for probably 3 years. I mean, I've had issues for 3 years structurally, mechanically, that we couldn't find a cause.
Yeah.
So now it's just kind of a big relief knowing the actual root of the cause was my hip. And it just, like I mentioned in the last podcast, just led down the chain and affected all my joints and muscles and body parts down the chain, my knee and my foot. So I'm hoping all that kind of comes together and heals and I can get back to running and feeling amazing when I run again.
Do you think for somebody who is about to, because a lot of these surgeries have a very similar recovery process as far as the time it takes, like 4 to 6 months is typical for ACLs, it's typical for labrums, a lot of different types of upper body, shoulder labrum, rotator cuff, a little shorter than that, but very similar psychological recoveries over time. For people who are a month or 2 months in or about to do this thing, what would be advice on how to mentally get through it? And I know it hasn't been perfect for you either, but what would you say helps a lot?
I guess knowing that you're going to get back to doing what you love and probably be pain-free or have more, maybe come back better than you were before. And also, I think it's, I don't know, for me it's kind of exciting starting from scratch, which sounds crazy, but I want to build a really strong foundation from the ground up, literally and figuratively, and that's a loud truck. So I am kind of excited to start from scratch and like rebuild my body even stronger than it was before. And I've learned a lot of new things. I have a really great physical therapist. I'm very fortunate to be going to Stephen Hawkins, which is known for physical therapy for athletes. And so I've learned a lot of new tools for my toolbox as far as helping myself recover and then also for injury prevention for the athletes I work with. So I'm really excited about that.
Give me a couple examples.
A lot of
Are you out of breath walking?
Yes, I'm out of breath walking. Shut up. I can't walk and talk at the same time.
We're in Colorado, but just for the record, we're walking. It's about 20 degrees out, and everything's covered in snow. It's really pretty. Blue skies. A little chilly. She's making fun of me for putting gloves on, but she has her hands in her pockets. And yes. We're walking on a flat path. Continue on.
Just a lot of core stability and working on those core stabilizers, which I was a big advocate of.
Core stabilizers on your hips?
Everyone? Transverse abdominis. And
gotcha.
I was big on that before. I did a ton of balance and core work before the surgery, which my PT attributes to how well I'm doing with that kind of thing. But I learned some new moves, a lot of like single leg balance type thing, a lot of kneeling type exercises while kind of pushing objects or bands across my body in a different and an opposite plane, which forces the core to stabilize more.
Cool. Nice. How's your upper body strength coming along?
It's pretty good, considering I was on crutches for 7 weeks. I think I was kind of bragging on my Facebook page that I was able to still do, actually I did 5 before the post. I was able to do about 5 pull-ups from a really tough hold. Scott and I used to rock climb all the time. And
I was impressed about that, actually.
Yeah, it was like, it's a slider hold. It's like a rounded hold, so you can't really grip very well. And I was like, I feel like I could still do pull-ups. So I did a set, took a break, and then I had my son film me because I was like, I got to brag a little. I could still do pull-ups and rock hold.
That's cool. And I think the whole idea for Athlete on Fire is definitely people who want to stay active for a whole lifetime and be athletic in whatever stage of life they're in. So, you know, your parent, has there been anything from a parenting standpoint that would be of note for recovering from this thing?
From a parenting standpoint, I guess giving your kids more credit than you would expect. Before the surgery, I was trying to mentally prepare the boys for me not really being able to do much, and they really stepped up. I think we talked about in the last podcast, they were making me coffee and making me food and making themselves breakfast and getting themselves dressed. So actually it was kind of a blessing in disguise because they became a lot more self-sufficient after the surgery. And now I'm like, okay, boys, when I was, you know, recovering and I couldn't do much, you could dress yourself. So they've been giving themselves a bath, which has been awesome.
Can you make a note on why I'm not doing all the stuff for kids too? Because I'm working right now. I'm just thinking like, dude, I was like, dang, why isn't Scott doing this crap? I leave early, people. Like, I usually leave the house about 4:30 or 5 every day. So that's why. I'm covering my own bases here so I don't sound like a complete turd. But on a serious note, what about tips for spouses? Like, what would have, now that we both know, what would have helped me more help you get through some of these things?
That's tough because we have a really unique schedule. So I guess knowing ahead of time kind of what to expect, like the meal preparation was huge, and we had some really great friends and family that really helped out with that. Like the meal, I had a friend set up the meal train, So that was very helpful because then people knew when to come and bring meals. So that was big. Grocery shopping. I mean, I couldn't drive for the first 2 weeks, to a month. So oh, yeah. Coordinating.
Just planning that stuff.
Yeah, like planning it. Like who's going to go get the groceries and take the kids to school. And because Scott, like you were running on like crazy, like trying to get these kids to school and then like making it back. And
that was bad timing because we had just moved across town. So my commute to get the kids to school was longer than my work commute, which just drives me insane. But yeah, I think those are all good tips. I think just having a infrastructure set in, the food and the traveling around were the two big ones for sure. I think we'll probably check in again with you in about a month. What will you be able to do in a month that you can't do today?
So, well, in 2 months, I'll be ready to start running, which I'm really excited about.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. At 4 months. Elliptical. I'm supposed to be able to start the elliptical soon. So I think that'll at least give me kind of the feeling of running. I mean, biking outdoors. I can get out on snow and walk around a little bit. So
we're about to walk into the gym. What are you going to do today?
I'm just going to do a lot of my PT.
Are you shivering?
Yes.
So you made fun of me for
I haven't
all kinds
been outside
of things.
Very much. Just a lot of my PT stuff. A lot of balance and stability and get on the bike for about 20 minutes.
Cool. All right, last thing, because you listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of geeky shows, onion shows. What's been your go-to for entertainment on, like, treadmill and rehab days?
Oh, man. Scott's not going to like my answer. I really got into a lot of the true crime podcasts. It's just kind of, it's not so mindless, but I guess some we call it mindless. Every once in a while, I'll dabble into some sports-type podcasts, but sometimes I don't know, sometimes I want to take my mind off what I can't do. And listening, I love listening to the stories about all the people that are doing cool things in the outdoors. But then sometimes it's like, man, I can't do that stuff. So I'm going to listen to some true crime.
Dragons and murder. Okay. Right. Awesome. Well, thanks, Fletchy.
Yep, thanks.
All right, so really quick, we got done at the gym. We're heading back, and Lauren had some changes of energy. Wasn't feeling as good, kind of have a little fun with a couple stories she wanted to tell and things that have been happening. Somebody misdiagnosed her verbiage with a different issue that I don't think she had. Anyway, you're going to have to listen. Kind of funny. Oh, what a difference an hour makes. Just an hour ago, I was interviewing Lauren on the way to the gym, and it was all sunshines and butterflies, and basically for the last 10 minutes, I've been listening to her complain about how hard it is to walk. And she's limping, which she's not supposed to do, so I'm trying to get her to stop compensating. Then she's making excuses for limping by walking on her tippy toes, saying that she's allowed to do it every few minutes, when I know she probably lied about that.
No, I didn't. It makes me engage my glutes more.
But yeah, you're doing that so you didn't have to walk normal. But why are you walking like... Why am I walking around the neighborhood with my 90-year-old hand?
Well, I made Scott re-record it because I'm like, this is actually demonstrates kind of the Jekyll and Hyde of recovery with, basically I walked to the gym half a mile, was feeling amazing, super optimistic, did my workout, and then my hip tightens up and we're half a mile walk back home and I'm in so much pain and I'm now, I had so much hope and now I'm like, I can't imagine running, you know, miles and miles in the trail again when I can barely walk a mile.
Half mile.
Or, well, a mile total. And then all those dark thoughts come into my head. Well, not really dark thoughts, but just funny situations over the course of the recovery with every single person I see when they're like, oh, why are you on crutches? What happened? And I'm like, oh, I had a hip surgery. And they're like, oh, you got a replacement? Every single person. And I'm like, I'm 35. I am not 60. My 65-year-old...
Whoa. How old are you?
Oh, yeah, I just turned 36. Okay. Haha. Anyway, well, come on. My 65-year-old dad just had a hip replacement. So, come on. Quit asking me if I had a hip replacement. And then I had one guy that does not know anatomy, apparently, and thought I tore my labia. So,
Well, did you?
Yeah. He's like, oh, how'd you do that? That sounds so painful. He's like, no, I didn't tear my vagina. But... Thanks for asking. What's wrong?
I really hope it wasn't your PT.
No, it wasn't.
Who was this dude?
Oh, I don't know.
Do I need to find this guy? Why are you talking about your labia with strangers? What you don't see right now is that we're walking and it just snowed yesterday, and I'm pointing out icy spots as we walk because she gets slightly distracted in her life.
Oh, anyways, I'm still optimistic, but just keep that in mind if you ever have a surgery or recovery or a sports injury.
It's kind of like being an entrepreneur. Like, I literally have felt like I was going out of business and going to go public on the same day 5 times back and forth. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just extremes ups.
We're almost back from the half mile walk back.
Yeah, she's pacing at about 32 minutes per mile. Not too bad. But yeah, I thought that was funny just to bring back the dark side. I, on the other hand, feel all right. For now. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to check out more of what we put out, go over to becomingultra.com. You can check out Becoming Ultra on iTunes and Stitcher and all the places that podcasts are held. Season 7 is getting started. We work with a lot of runners, a lot of endurance athletes through that project as well. And if you like what we're putting out over here, you'll probably like what we put out over there. So Becoming Ultra is the next spot you should check out. Thanks a lot.